his deal so far or anything we've talked about with Law so far, you can go ahead and drop those in the question box now if you'd like. I'm not going to get to them right now, but I just want to give you permission to go ahead and drop any questions for Law if you got them. Feel free to. I don't have any other specific questions for you. I think I probably had and lost some along the way that I didn't write down. Shame on me.
Oh, good. Yeah, man. I apologize too, man. That was very detailed.
That was perfect. That was fantastic.
Okay.
I mean, cool. What I told you we wanted to do was get inside your head and crawl around while you analyze these deals and see it through your eyes, and that's exactly what we just did.
Okay.
So,
cool stuff.
All right, Joe. I am going to make you an organizer.
Did you see my
okay.
screen?
Yes. Now, before we just jump into what you've got for us, could you? I did this with Law as well. Give me kind of the brief history of how you got into real estate investing. What I want to do is give people a snapshot of your kind of a brief history of you so we can see what brought you to where you are now. And then part two is I want to get a snapshot of your business. And we know we mentioned earlier that you wholesale lease options. Some people will and some people won't know what that means. So start with your story, and then we'll look at your business model, and then we'll look at your deals.
Yeah, well, I was one of those guys 4 or 5 years ago, was buying houses left and right. No, this was in 05, 06. Back when it was easy to get loans, right? You could walk in, if you could fog a mirror, you could get a mortgage. And I had bought all the different courses I could. I tried every different strategy. I remember Steve Cook teaching about wholesaling, and I didn't think that was sexy enough, man. I liked the big projects. I liked the big fat end paydays, and so I was buying a bunch of homes subject to, buying homes with using sandwich lease options, and then getting mortgages. I got as many mortgages as I could. You know, at the time, I think I bought 8 or 9 homes, and I was just in a buying machine. I was in a buying mode, and all of a sudden the market collapsed and private lenders started wanting their money back. I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing, but I was counting on appreciation on all these deals. So I wasn't buying them cheap enough. I wasn't buying them for cash flow. They cash flowed $100-$200 a month, but I was buying them for appreciation and thinking I could sell them pretty easily in a couple of years. And I just do, you know, a couple of those a month, and in 5-7 years, I'll be sitting on a lot of money. And so all of a sudden now, and I'm still working a full-time job, I'm trying to figure out a way to make a living in real estate, because I've always wanted to work for myself, and I love real estate. And I bought tons of courses, and every course I had almost would say something like, you know, you should learn wholesaling. That's the number one foundational thing, and that's going to pay the bills and put cash in your pocket. But I didn't listen to any of that. And so I started buying homes, and then all of a sudden my whole world kind of just started falling all around me. And I started hemorrhaging cash, lots of vacancies. The homes that I bought subject to, the sellers, the private investors started wanting their money back. The sellers started wanting me to cash them out, right, and buy the house. And so I had tenant buyers in these homes that I was lease optioning them to. And this happened to a couple of my homes. The seller, the homeowners, came and knocked on the door. I was really, rewind a little bit. I was really, really doing really poorly with my cash position. And every month I was paying the mortgage like a day 29, day 30 of these subject twos, because I didn't want to get a 30-day late on the homeowner's credit report. You understand? So a subject two is when you take over an existing mortgage.
Yep.
And so
and I don't
never
like
missed
subject two deals personally, for the record.
I don't do them anymore. But so, I mean, I never missed a mortgage payment on my subject two deals. But I was robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it was just insane. And I was paying these mortgages like a day before it, like the day 30 of the month before it would hit their credit report, right? And just completely stressed out, losing sleep, couldn't sleep, and just stressed out. And And then all of a sudden the sellers are getting hacked off and they were wanting, so they're knocking on the doors of these subject to homes and saying to the tenant buyer, when are you going to buy this house? And the tenant buyer would say, well, who are you? And the owner would say, I own this house. And they would say, well, I thought Joe owned this house. What do you? And then all of a sudden I get a letter from the buyer's attorney, the tenant buyer's attorney, saying what's going on. And you're selling this house and you don't even own it. This sounds like mortgage fraud. And then the seller was all upset. And then my private lenders started getting upset because they were thinking, I thought you owned this house and I want my money back. So anyway, it was a mess. This was about 3-4 years ago. And my back was against the wall and, you know, we were thinking, we got to find a way to get out of this. And so I started thinking about wholesaling again, and I started saying to myself, you know what, I should just start wholesaling because I need to make some cash. And I said, okay, I'm going to dust off these old courses that I bought, and I'm just going to start doing what they say I should do. And Steve Cook's was one of those courses, and another one was a guy by the name of Chris Chico on virtual wholesaling out of Florida. And I said, I'm just going to do what these guys tell me to do, and I'm not going to question it. And so I started sending out postcards. I started making offers on the MLS, and I started just focusing on wholesaling, and I started doing deals. My first deal I made 13 grand on, and I couldn't believe it. It was a lady who responded to my postcard on an expired listing. She said, I had sent it about a house somewhere in the city in a nice area, and she had called and said, I don't want to sell that house. I want to sell this other one. It was a tri-family way out in the country, and she called me 3 times before I finally called her back, begging me to buy her house. And I said, I'm not interested. I mean, I don't have any buyers out there. And there's no way I can get comps on a multifamily and this small little hick town in the sticks. And I said, no, I'm not interested. She called me back again and begged me. So I said, fine. I looked it up on the MLS. It expired the year before for like $140,000. And I just pulled a number out of my butt. I said, okay, I'll offer you. Can you hear me okay? Okay, I said, I'll offer you $50,000. And she said, okay. And I swore, I fell over. What? She said, okay, $50,000, great. When can we meet?
And that was, you just threw that out to basically scare her away.
I pulled it out of my buttocks. $50,000. She said, okay, where can we? So I said,
and then you're like, oh, crap, I should have said 30.
No, I was freaking out because I was thinking, what on earth am I going to do now? So I met her and I gave her my contract and I wrote every contingency I could think of. I think I had like 45 days to close. I wrote 10 different contingencies to get out of the contract. She signed it all. I sent it to a title. No. The next day I put a sign in the yard, a for sale by owner sign in the yard, and I paid a flat fee listing agent to put it on the MLS, and I listed it for $65,000. And again, remember, I had no idea what this thing was worth, none. So I put a sign in the yard, and I put it on a flat fee listing on the MLS for $65,000, and I got an offer that day. That same day, I got an offer. I got a bunch of calls. Guy submitted a contract, and I told him, I was so scared about all this. I said, I want you to know that I got it under contract for $50,000, and I'm wholesaling this thing. Do you know what wholesaling? And the realtor's like, whatever, man, we just want to buy it. And so I called the title company up because I was so terrified that something was going to fall apart and I wasn't going to make my money. So I told the realtor, I told the title company, and they said, well, no big deal. Well, anyway, I wholesaled the thing. I made $13,000 after all my costs. And I couldn't believe this actually worked. This was the first time, really, that I had done only what I heard other people doing. You know, like these gurus come and they do these testimonials and, you know, and these people are talking about all this money they're making. I'm thinking, that can never be me. That's a false testimony. No, that guy is lying. That check is doctored. And so finally, all of a sudden, it happened to me and I got it. Something clicked. And I said, this stuff really does work. And I was super happy. And so I started doing a bunch more marketing. And I started spending about $3,000 a month in postcards and internet marketing, and I was throwing away a ton of leads and getting super frustrated with all these leads I was throwing away because I was spending so much money in this marketing and, you know, I was getting my money back. It was a good return on my investment. I'm starting to wholesale more deals, but I just felt like I was thrown away. I was wasting a lot of my time and trying to negotiate, you know, a property down to 40, 50 cents on the dollar. And I didn't have the time to go meet the sellers in their houses. So I thought there's got to be a better way. And at the same time, I loved lease options because I've always been a big fan of lease options because lease options allow you to control property without owning it, right? And I realized pretty well in 2007 when the market started falling in 2008 that another deed is the last thing I want. There's so much, you know, the whole thing of being in debt and the obligations of making mortgage payments to a lender just gave me chills to my bone. And then the whole idea of having a house that I took over someone else's mortgage and being responsible for those mortgage payments. I said another deed is the last thing I wanted. But options then are different because they allow you to control property without owning it. And so you can have an option on the property. If the deal goes bad, it's a lot easier to get out of the deal. There's a lot less risk, a lot less liability. It doesn't raise all of the due on sale mortgage acceleration red flags. And so it's just a much cleaner deal. I really liked lease options. And I loved wholesaling. And I asked myself one day, why can't I do both? Why can't I wholesale lease options? And so I started advertising around the local REIA groups and just calling other investors. I said, hey, I see you have a house, you know, you're advertising. I will find you a tenant buyer and you pay me $500. And I started doing that and a lot of people started signing up and I realized it's a lot of work for only $500. And heck yeah, I'd pay somebody $500 if they found me a buyer. And so I started charging $1,000 because that's a lot of work for only $500. And started getting frustrated because I wasn't making enough money. I thought this wasn't making much sense. So I had a virtual assistant at the time in Indiana and he was doing some marketing for me. And she said, you got to talk to this other guy I'm working for. He's doing something similar to what you're doing. She gave me his website, gave me his phone number. And I called him up. Turns out he's flipping lease options just like I am, but he's keeping the entire option deposit. He's keeping the entire 2%, 3%, 4% that he's getting as an option deposit. And then he's assigning his contract and he's completely done and out of the deal. Huh. So I called him up and he's actually flipping a bunch of lease options in Atlanta from his beach condo in Florida. He travels a lot. And I was talking to him and he was on the balcony of this place he was renting on a month to month basis. He just travels a lot. And he was flipping these lease options in Atlanta from his beach condo in Florida. And, that was a God divine appointment moment. That was like, I got it. And I knew what I was supposed to be doing because this fit exactly what I was good at. I was good at lease options. I was good at wholesaling and I loved doing deals virtually. I mean, I was doing deals virtually in St. Louis because I had no choice. I was working 50 hours a week and I had to outsource everything I could if I was going to do any deals. I had to outsource it. I had to have the systems and virtual assistants and realtors and local sales guys. And so I was developing these systems, and I thought this fits perfectly with what I want to do. And so I took what this guy was doing, and I combined it with what I was learning from Chris Chico on virtual wholesaling. And I started just telling sellers as I was calling them on Craigslist, hey, I'll find a tenant buyer. I'll do a lease purchase. And, yeah, I keep the option deposit, and you get the first month's rent. And some sellers objected, but some of them said, okay, fine. And started realizing this is pretty cool. And now I can do something with all the leads that I'm throwing away. So all of these sellers who are calling me who have a lot of equity, who aren't willing to share any of it with me, or who don't have any equity, I can now do something with these deals. And so I asked them questions like, well, what are you going to do if you can't sell this house? Are you going to rent it? Yeah, I'll probably have to rent it. Well, why would you want to rent it to a tenant who's going to call you every time the faucet leaks? Why don't you rent it to somebody who wants to buy it? You can do a lease purchase on this property. So I stopped actually doing direct mail and I started.
Wait. I just, before you go on.
Yeah.
That is a brilliant, brilliant sales pitch. I mean, that's like the quickest way. One line you just said just blows me away. It's so simple. It's so ridiculously simple and to the point. But makes it extremely clear to the seller the value of what you're offering them. It's like an irresistible offer. If they answer you know, if you ask them the question, what are you going to do if you don't sell it? Are you going to have to rent it? If they answer yes, then you just offer them the next best thing, or the even better thing, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can guarantee you they've never asked them. They've never asked themselves that question before, and the realtor hasn't asked them that question. What are you going to do if you don't sell this house? There's so many of those.
They're going to have to ask themselves that question, and they know that in this market. So you're forcing that question upon them, basically, in a real friendly kind of way. What are you going to do if you don't sell it? What's your plan B? And if they say, well, plan B is this, and you say, how would you like a better plan B? How about this? Boom. Yeah. Sold.
Yeah, you're exactly right.